It's not just good conversation, it's your voice on the weekends. Weekends with Kenny Rahmeyer on News Radio KLBJ.
I guess you got under my skin a little earlier, you and many of your callers. You're just as bad as the Reds and the Democratic left. Liberals, I should say. Did you hang up on me yet? Come on, talk to me. Oh, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? What's going on? Tell me what's going
on. I'll tell you what's going on. What's going on? And good afternoon to you. Thanks a lot for being with us on the weekends here on News Radio KLBJ. I'm Kenny Rahmeyer. This afternoon, all the latest for you on some huge news stories this weekend. The shootings in Buffalo, New York, and in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The latest on that for you. These pro-choice rallies that have been held nationwide, including right here in Austin. And get this, the leader of the Women's March in Washington, D.C., told us all to get ready for the summer of rage. We'll have that for you coming up here on KLBJ. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi verbally attacking members of the U.S. Supreme Court. Even as Justice Clarence Thomas this weekend speaks out about that Alito memo leak. We'll have all of that for you here on KLBJ. Finland and Sweden this weekend say they want to join NATO. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says they'll be welcome. We'll have that for you this afternoon. The latest on the baby formula shortage. Former President Donald Trump was in town last night. We'll have some of that for you. And the latest polling data from the Dallas Morning News on Texas political races. You might be interested in that as well. All of that and a whole lot more, along with your texts and your phone calls. They are welcome here. 512-836-0590. You can give us a call or send us a text here on KLBJ. I want to give you the latest on this horrific mass shooting in Buffalo, New York, started yesterday afternoon. Here's the latest. We've got several cuts from so many different stakeholders, the national and the state and the local level here. But first, just a quick wrap on what we know at this hour.
18-year-old Peyton Gedron in court after the shooting. WKBW there when the judge asked if he understood the charges.
I understand the charges.
Investigators say the white teen shot 11 black. They're looking at an online manifesto. On ABC This Week with George Stephanopoulos, Governor Hochul says Gedron had been on authorities' radar before.
With respect to something he wrote in high school and was under surveillance at the time with medical authorities.
Police Commissioner Joseph Grimaglia says he drove 200 miles from home the day before
to do a little reconnaissance work on the area before he carried out his just evil, sickening act.
Investigators were also questioning his parents, who they say were cooperating. I'm Julie Walker.
So let's pick up on that. The authorities say this, and I'm going to follow my practice, so I don't want to say this loser's name, the shooter, an 18-year-old, and according to authorities, he had researched the local demographics while looking for places with a high concentration of black residents. He arrived there in the Buffalo area about a day in advance to conduct recon. He'd previously threatened a shooting at his high school last June. That, according to the Associated Press, the Buffalo Police Commissioner said the then 17-year-old was brought in for a mental health evaluation. As it stands now, the authorities are still working to confirm the authenticity of a racist 180-page manifesto that detailed the plot and identified himself, the shooter, by name as the gunman. I've got a few quotes here, first from President Biden, then from New York's Governor Kathy Hochul, and then from the U.S. Senator from New York, Charles Schumer. In particular, listen to what Governor Hochul has to say as she's really demanding that these
social media platforms, the technology companies, take more responsibility for their roles in what she said are propagating hate speech. Here's Biden, Hochul, and Schumer.
We're still gathering the facts, but already the Justice Department has stated publicly that it's investigating the matter as a hate crime, racially motivated act of white supremacy and violent extremism.
This was no other way to describe it than white supremacy terrorism. It's racism, it's hatred, and it stops right here in Buffalo. This is the last stop you're going to have because we are coming after you. Those companies, we're going to be sitting down and having a conversation very soon about, are they doing everything they humanly can?
We must tackle the scourge of gun violence and finally ban the weapons of war from our streets. We must address the disturbing reality. I know the governor has talked about this, that the internet and social media enable purveyors of evil to spread their wicked words to poison the minds of others.
Plenary investigation found the shooter had repeatedly visited websites espousing white supremacist ideologies and race-based conspiracy theories. He went on to say that he extensively researched the 2019 mosque shootings in Christchurch, New Zealand, and the guy that killed dozens at a summer camp in Norway back in 2011. This manifesto that's been discussed outlines a racist ideology rooted in a belief that the United States should belong only to white people. As I mentioned, he traveled a couple hundred miles from his home in Conklin, New York, to Buffalo, to that specific area. And as I mentioned, he'd been on the radar of police last year. He threatened to carry out a shooting at the Susquehanna High School around the time of graduation. New York State Police said troopers were called to that Conklin school on June 8th of last year on a report that the 17-year-old had made general threatening statements. Yesterday afternoon, he shot several people in the parking lot, then came indoors. He was confronted by police right in the opening vestibule of the store. He put a rifle to his neck, was convinced to drop it. That was after he had obviously shot several more people. The authorities are interviewing the shooter's parents. They've served multiple search warrants, and it's reported the parents are cooperating with the investigators. That brave security guard that confronted the shooter, he was a retired Buffalo police officer. His name is Aaron Salter, working as a security guard for that Tops grocery store there in Buffalo. Confronted the shooter. The shooter was outfitted in military fatigues, body armor, and a tactical helmet. The gunfire from Salter actually hit the shooter, but due to the body armor that the suspect was wearing, the gunman returned fire and hit and killed Salter. The shooter had a camera, live streamed the shooting on the video platform Twitch, which was owned by Amazon. Twitch said in a statement that it ended the shooter's transmission less than 2 minutes after the violence started. Here's a few more comments from the FBI agent in charge, Steve Bologna. The sheriff from Erie County, there in Buffalo, New York, John Garcia, and the Buffalo mayor, Byron Brown.
We continue to investigate this case as a hate crime, a federal hate crime, and as a crime perpetrated by a racially motivated violent extremist.
The bravery by the Buffalo police officers to engage an individual with a vest, an assault rifle, with handguns, I could just not say enough about their actions.
This individual came here with the expressed purpose of taking as many black lives as he possibly could.
As I mentioned, the parents are being investigated. They're cooperating. They are both civil engineers from the State Department of Transportation there in New York, said to be cooperating the authorities are still waiting to get a computer owned by the shooter suspect. And again, they're taking a look at this 180-page manifesto. They believe it's authentic, matches a lot of the key personal details of the suspect and how the crime unfolded. Want to just mention the guns. As I mentioned, the shooter had a camera. He live-streamed this. He had three weapons, a rifle, a shotgun, and an AR-15-style weapon. That's the one he used to carry out the attack. Law enforcement executed one warrant on his car, and they're seeking other warrants. It's reported the shooter suspect bought his assault weapon, the AR weapon, at a store in Endicott, New York. And those are just some of the details that we have at this hour on that Buffalo, New York shooting. 512-836-0590. Give us a call or send us a text here on KLBJ. And then another day and night of shooting up in Milwaukee. We'll have the latest on that for you and a whole lot more coming up here on KLBJ. And Kenny Rahmeyer back with you on this Sunday afternoon. We're live and local for you this afternoon here on News Radio KLBJ. A hot, sunny summer afternoon, even though it's still spring, here in mid-May. Thanks a lot for being with us on News Radio KLBJ, giving you all the latest on that shooting in Buffalo, New York, and also a weekend of shootings in Milwaukee. At least 21 people injured Friday night. Three separate shootings near Milwaukee's entertainment district. First shooting around 9:10 p.m. It involved a 30-year-old man, a 16-year-old girl in terms of injuries. And then a little over an hour later, another nearby shooting left a 20-year-old man injured. And then around 11:09 p.m., Friday night, 17 people injured in a third shooting, 10 people taken into custody, including five who were injured. 10 guns were recovered, according to the Milwaukee Police Department Assistant Chief Nicole Waldner. Total of 11 people were arrested. Here's a quick wrap of the latest we know on all of those shootings in Milwaukee.
10 people have been taken into custody after 17 were shot in Milwaukee near the Bucks-Celtics basketball game. 9 firearms were recovered from the scene after dozens were seen fleeing Friday. Several fights were broken up as the game was ending, Fox 6 in Milwaukee reported. It's not clear if any of the fights had anything to do with the shooting. The shooting victims are expected to survive. They range in age from 15 to 47, according to Milwaukee police, who also say they're continuing to search for more suspects. This was the second shooting incident near the game Friday night. In the other, three were injured, including a 16-year-old girl. CJ Papa, Fox News.
As you heard in that report, total 11 people were arrested, 17 people injured in that third shooting, and 10 guns were recovered. Here's what the Milwaukee Assistant Police Chief Nicole Waldner said about all those guns.
There's just open carrying of firearms with utter disregard for every single person that just was down there to have a good time.
The mayor of Milwaukee imposed a curfew for anyone under the age of 21 for last night and again for tonight from 11 p.m. until 5:30 a.m. 512-836-0590. Give us a call or send us a text here on KLBJ. Maybe you were a part of some of the big rallies, some of the big protest rallies in support of abortion rights here in Austin. The Statesman reports there were thousands of Austinites gathered at the state capitol yesterday, all a part of this National Day of Action taking place cities all around the country. One speaker in particular got our attention. This is Rachel Carmona. She is the president of the Women's March. She was speaking there in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Get a load of what she has to say.
The day that we warned about is here. The end of Roe and Casey are in plain sight, and we will not go back. It is day one of our feminist future, and it is day one of a summer of rage where we will be ungovernable, ungovernable.
For too long, this country has allowed a small but loud group from the religious right to dominate the narrative around abortion and religion, claiming that abortion access is a violation of religious freedom. So we ask...
I can only take so much there. That's what we have to look forward to from that militant radical. A summer of love, and they're going to be ungovernable. Ungovernable. What kind of signal does that send relative to your intentions, ma'am, and the intentions of so many of those who are supporting what you were saying? A summer of rage. That's what we have to look forward to. 512-836-0590 here. You can give us a call or send us a text on KLBJ. The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, was on CNN today, the State of the Union program, Dana Bash, the moderator. And in that exchange, House Speaker Pelosi was talking in particular about the appointments that former President Trump had made to the Supreme Court and how dangerous they are.
Who would have ever suspected that a creature like Donald Trump would become president of the United States, waiving a list of judges that he would appoint, therefore getting the support of the far right and appointing those anti-freedom justices to the court? So this is not about long game. We played a long game. We won Roe v. Wade a long time ago.
And as I said, the speaker's remarks there on the heels of Justice Clarence Thomas, who was having a meeting. This was an after dinner conversation with one of his former law clerks. And he was talking about the leak of the draft opinion that was written by Justice Sam Alito that's been so much in the news the last couple of weeks. That opinion, of course, suggested that the court's poised to overturn Roe v. Wade. Justice Thomas had some things to say about that. He said in particular that the leak of this draft opinion has done irreparable damage to the Supreme Court. Here's Clarence Thomas.
Look where we are, where now that trust or that belief is gone forever. And when you lose that trust, especially in the institution that I'm in, it changes the institution fundamentally. There's such a belief in the rule of law, a belief in the court, a belief in what we were doing, that was verboten. It was beyond anyone's understanding, or at least anyone's imagination, that someone would do that.
And let me again, just in case you missed it, give you a sample of what one of these activists who's doing the protesting in Washington, D.C., she's president of the Women's March there, Rachel Carmona, about a summer of rage and how they're going to be ungovernable.
The day that we warned about is here. The end of Roe and Casey are in plain sight, and we will not go back. It is day one of our feminist future, and it is day one of a summer of rage where we will be ungovernable, ungovernable
for too long.
You just got to wonder, is that kind of rhetoric, that kind of demagoguery, is that going to work in their favor long term as the summer rolls along? 512-836-0590. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. KLBJ. And Kenny Rahmeyer back with you on a Sunday afternoon. We're live and local for you on News Radio KLBJ. So far, giving you all the latest on the shootings over the weekend. One in Buffalo, New York. Three separate shootings up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin this weekend. And sadly, I'm going to report some breaking news out of Orange County, California. Deputies responding to reports of a shooting at a church in Laguna Woods. Multiple victims have been shot That's all we have on that breaking story just moments ago, and we'll give you all the latest on that as more information becomes available. 512-836-0590. Give us a call or send us a text here on KLBJ. Also talking about all of the pro-choice rallies. Thousands in attendance at the state capitol yesterday, according to the Austin American-Statesman. Thousands and thousands more protesting all around the country this weekend. 512-836-0590. Give us a call or send us a text here on KLBJ. Lots of other news to get to as well. This is really a big deal to the extent that Finland and Sweden have been on the sidelines in terms of geopolitical stuff for so many years. Since World War II, and now here we are, Finland's government announcing today that Finland is going to apply for NATO membership. And this is just hours away from Sweden's governing party announcing the same thing, that it's supporting joining the NATO alliance. If both are accepted, which is widely expected, those two countries would essentially be throwing aside an incredibly long history of military non-alignment. And the experts say this expansion of NATO would represent yet another strategic setback for President Putin. Putin warned the president of Finland yesterday that any effort to join NATO would negatively affect relations between Finland and Russia. Ukraine's foreign minister said that more weapons and other assistance is on the way. Those comments made earlier today after his meeting with Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Here's some of what Secretary of State Blinken had to say about Sweden and Finland joining NATO and also the status of the United States reopening its embassy there in Ukraine.
The United States would strongly support a NATO application by either Sweden or Finland should they choose to formally apply to the alliance. We'll respect whatever decision they make. And we've long supported NATO's open door policy and the right of all countries to decide their own futures, their policies, their security arrangements. American diplomats have returned to Ukraine after several weeks working out of Poland. We're reopening our embassy in Kyiv. We're taking all necessary precautions, but that work is underway. And we will resume operations very soon.
It was another visit by several political leaders from the United States this weekend. U.S. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell led a Senate delegation to meet with Ukraine's President Zelensky in the capital city of Kyiv yesterday. Also along on the trip, the senior senator from Texas, John Cornyn, along with Senators John Barrasso and Susan Collins in that delegation. And you can remember, I think it was just within this past week or so, as the United States was trying to get legislation passed for even more money to send weaponry and other assistance to Ukraine, that one senator in particular, Senator Rand Paul, was just asking for some consideration to be given in the bill to have some kind of watchdog, maybe an inspector general, somebody like that, on this side, just following the money, trying to make sure the money ends up where it's supposed to. If you just take a look of a little bit of digging, a little bit of history there, you can understand at least Senator Paul's reluctance to just continuing to send more and more money, more and more weapons into the country of Ukraine. Ukraine's illicit arms market has really taken off since Russia's initial invasion in 2014. An arms control expert said that it's impossible to keep track of not only where all of this military assistance and these weapons are going, also impossible to tell who's using them and how they're being used. The State Department spokesman said the United States has conducted thorough vetting of the Ukrainian units that are being supplied with all these weapons from the United States, and that they have forced Kyiv to sign agreements that, quote, don't allow the retransfer of equipment to third parties without prior U.S. government authorization, end quote. You wonder if that agreement's even worth the paper that it's written on. Right, Ukraine has a history as being a hub for arms trafficking, going all the way back to the fall of the Soviet Union. So I just wanted to throw that in because Senator Paul had been getting a lot of blowback for his just asking for some kind of follow-up, some kind of tracking and accountability for all the weapons, all the money that's being pumped into Ukraine. And this from the British Military Intelligence Services this weekend, that Russia has probably lost around a third of its ground forces that it deployed to Ukraine, and that its offensive in the Donbass region, there in the eastern part of the country, quote, has lost momentum and has fallen significantly behind schedule. Again, that from the British Military Intelligence Services this weekend. 512-836-0590 here on KLBJ. You can give us a call or send us a text. When we come right back, former President Donald Trump was in town yesterday. It was a day-long event at the convention center, and it was capped by his keynote address, if you want to call it that. We'll have some of the highlights of that. And out of the Dallas Morning News, some of the latest polling data from the Dallas Morning News about the governor's race here in Texas and a whole lot more. Stay with us here on KLBJ. And Kenny Rahmeyer back with you on a Sunday afternoon. We're live and local for you on News Radio KLBJ. Thanks a lot for being with us on the weekends. Just to follow up on some of that breaking news out of California that I mentioned moments ago. Still not a lot to go on here. ABC News reports authorities in Southern California responding to reports of multiple people shot at a church in Laguna Woods in Orange County. According to ABC, multiple victims shot at the church. The Orange County Sheriff's Office said that it's detained one person. That's all we have on that. We'll continue to follow those developments as more information comes to us, as we're with you live and local this afternoon here on KLBJ. And certainly with all the carnage, whatever comes out of church shooting in California, certainly in Buffalo, New York, and Milwaukee, today is Peace Officers Memorial Day. President Biden speaking at an event earlier today. We'll just stop and say thanks. I'm going to stop and remember and say thanks to all of those in law enforcement who continue to serve, continue to risk their lives to help all the rest of us stay safe. Thank you for that. 512-836-0590 here on KLBJ. You can give us a call or send us a text here on KLBJ. I mentioned the former president, Donald Trump, in town yesterday. This is one of those American Freedom Tour stops that happened, the sixth stop. Dozens more rallies scheduled all across the nation. The next one is set for Birmingham, Alabama, on June 18th. Among other things, the president was covering all the bases as he usually does. And one thing in particular, he was certainly using the platform yesterday down at the convention center to rally Republican voters to deliver a Republican wave in the November midterms.
The president is quite correct. We must do something.
Let's go to Trump. Here we go.
We're going to build our country back. We're going to have a great November. We're going to win a lot of seats in the House. Hopefully we'll do good. Despite Mitch McConnell, we'll do well in the Senate.
I'm still not cutting McConnell any slack, but we'll continue to look for more details out of that event. It was a day-long event, and apparently pretty well attended based on the coverage from from what I could see. And again, the next stop is June 18th in Birmingham, Alabama. If you were there, if you had a chance to go to the event and participate, we'd be glad to get your thoughts on it, of what you made of that event, what you got out of it. 512-836-0590. Give us a call or send us a text here on KLBJ. Another local story, definitely want to keep you updated on it because we were following it right at the end of last week. This is about that lawsuit that has been filed that would require all 10 Austin City Council members, all 10 seats, to be on the ballot in November. And this report from the Austin American-Statesman says that that case has already made its way to the Texas Supreme Court. The crux of the lawsuit is that there's roughly 24,000 redistricted Austin residents who are now essentially going to be denied the opportunity to vote since they've been moved into a district represented by someone they didn't elect. So if this lawsuit is successful, the lawsuit's going to preemptively end the terms of five council members, Vanessa Fuentes, Chito Vela, Leslie Poole, Mackenzie Kelly, and Allison Alter, such that they would be running for re-election again this time around. The attorneys for the city have argued that putting all 10 seats on the ballot after redistricting is unnecessary. Bill Elshire is the attorney representing 13 registered voters here in Austin whose residences are shifting into other districts. So that case clearly on the fast track, as it's now, according to the Statesman, at the Texas Supreme Court. And we'll continue to follow that story and see what comes out of that. Speaking of politics, the Dallas Morning News has some new polling data out this weekend. This is the Dallas Morning News University of Texas Tyler poll, just released today. Interesting, if you take a look at it, they ask a whole lot of questions about the political races, the governor's race. What about Governor Abbott's efforts to try to stem the tide of immigrants coming across the southern border in groups of 50 and 100, if you've been watching any of the coverage over the weekend? It's just a continuous stream of large groups of migrants now coming across the border, swimming across the river, you name it. In the governor's race, Abbott still leads Beto O'Rourke by 7 percentage points, 46% to 39%. That's essentially unchanged from the polling data back in February. I said they ask a lot of questions about Governor Abbott's efforts to try to stem the tide of the flow of migrants coming across the southern border. The governor's order for state police to inspect all those inbound trucks from Mexico, supported by 70% of registered voters. 55% approve of the governor's decision to spend billions of dollars to put soldiers, National Guard soldiers, and DPS officers at the border. 51% favor his recent move to provide bus rides for migrants to Washington, D.C. And nearly two-thirds of the state voters in this poll said that that federal public health order, known as Title 42, that closes the U.S. borders to immigrants without visas, two-thirds of the voters in favor of keeping Title 42 in place. One other piece of data they pulled relative to the southern border, 47% to 45% oppose using state funds to extend the border wall in any way. So that's just a quick recap. Some of the polling data from the Dallas Morning News UT Tyler poll. A couple other things they ask about the attorney general's race. On the Republican side, Ken Paxton is leading the land commissioner, George P. Bush, 41% to 35%. A couple of other issues. One having to do with legalization of marijuana, right? They always ask about that one. A huge majority, 83%, support legalization for medical use, 60% back decriminalizing weed for recreational use. And then overall, now this, even though those polling numbers were pretty good for Governor Abbott and his reelection campaign, this number not so good. Voters who say Texas is heading in the wrong direction, 56% this month. That's up from 49%. Same question asked back in February. 56% say that the state of Texas is headed in the wrong direction, even as Governor Abbott still getting a fair amount of support against his Democratic challenger, Beto O'Rourke. Still time for you to join us here, 512-836-0590. It's now being reported by Fox News that California church shooting, at least one dead and four hurt. That's the latest data that we're getting on that church shooting in California. We'll keep you posted if any other details come in here before we go off air. I know it's an important issue for many families. It's really picked up steam. I would say a real catalyst was when so many of those pallets, pictures reportedly of all the baby formula down on the border, while so many of grocery shelves are empty for the baby formula. Secretary of Transportation for the Biden administration, Pete Buttigieg, was on the Sunday TV news shows today. He said attention for this problem is getting the highest level of attention by the Biden administration. Buttigieg defending the administration, saying it's acted from day one. Said the administration has taken numerous steps to alleviate the scramble for parents. Now, get this, something that sounds pretty insidious to me. When you've got a government transportation secretary noting that there are four companies that make roughly 90% of the baby formula here in the United States, Buttigieg went on to say the Biden administration should probably take a look at that. Really? What are you going to do to interrupt free enterprise there and the capitalist markets there? Mr. Buttigieg, is the government going to get in the baby formula business there? How's that going to work, huh? 512-836-0590, and give us a call or send us a text. And one of the more troubling headlines, I would suggest, that came out this weekend from one of those big producers of baby formula. This is Perrigo, and the CEO of Perrigo told Reuters that he expects shortages and heightened demand to last for, quote, the balance of the year, end quote. He said their factories in Ohio and Vermont are running at 115% capacity to try to make up the shortfall. Said Perrigo's working with retailers like Walmart and Target so they can get some supply each and every week. Here's what House Speaker Pelosi had to say about the baby formula shortage this morning as she was making some of the rounds on the Sunday TV news shows.
The president is quite correct. We must do something as quickly as possible, but as safely as possible, and use caution for these babies. But we have to move quickly to do that. And part of this is, again, the supply chain issue.
All right, so you've got the CEO of Perrigo saying that it could be before the end of the year before things get better. And we know that Abbott Labs, where the Sturgis, Michigan plant was shut down over concerns about bacteria in some of the formula, of a total of a couple of babies died and a couple of others were sick. Abbott, the maker of Similac and the largest producer of milk formula here in the United States, and they say that As of now, there's still no infant formula rolling off the production line as they are continuing to work through that FDA investigation and the inspection and to get the green light to continue to produce more formula.